Loving God, still our hearts and minds to hear your words. Amen. I wonder when you last felt daunted by the task ahead of you. Something needs doing, a problem needs solving, but you're not ready for it. The very first time I came to Sheffield, which was some years ago, I had recently passed my driving test and I was driving my sister back to uni. The drive had gone well until we reached the university roundabout. It was, without doubt, the largest and busiest roundabout I had ever driven over by quite some way. You can probably imagine the level of anxiety in the car rose. Clear instructions were given about which lane to get in, and we inched forward in our lane. There were words of encouragement. It'll be okay. You're in the right lane. Just wait for a break in the traffic, and then you're just going straight over. Stay in your lane. You'll be fine. We got to the front of our queue and sat waiting at the roundabout for a break in the traffic. But the breaks in the traffic were occasional, and not really breaks at all, more like gasps in the traffic. So I missed the first few opportunities. The drivers behind me were getting annoyed now, and the encouraging words in the car had turned to stern directions and then to shouts. When you see a gap in the traffic, just put your foot down. Hope for the best. I did, and we survived, just. I can remember feeling particularly ill-equipped at various points when our children were small. Parenting can feel like a series of problems you're not quite ready for. And as soon as you master one thing, another task or development requires a new approach. Sometimes advice from books or friends helps, but some things are only learnt by doing them for yourself. And as children grow up, the parent's role is not just to problem solve themselves, but to help the child to problem solve. Teaching a child to go from stabilizers to riding a bike properly. Encouraging a child to believe in themselves, to have confidence in their abilities, to help them to make their own choices, and to know when to stand back and let them make their own mistakes. Today, we read a well-known story from John's Gospel. It's remembered as the first miracle Jesus performed. It's the story we read at church wedding ceremonies. And it's often used to make the point that Jesus must have liked a good party. When the gospel books were put together, they were compiled from various verbal accounts, which were pulled together and edited to make sense of Jesus' life and death to those who were following him. Like any good story of a good night out, I can imagine the retelling of what happened at this occasion grew in magnitude with each retelling until it was written down. But for a story like this, we can assume that the writers who edited the story edited it in such a way not just to convey events, but also to convey meaning. What might it mean that Jesus' first recorded miracle was turning vast quantities of water into wine? We could wonder whether the writer is pointing us towards God's generosity. The gospel writer points us towards this being the first sign of Jesus' ministry. When I was reading through the story this week, I began to wonder why we are given this short, blunt conversation between Jesus and his mother. There's a problem. They're at a wedding and the wine is running out. Mary, seeing the problem, approaches Jesus, and I think I'm tempted to side with Jesus here. What has it got to do with them? They're not the hosts of the wedding. It's really not on them to sort it out. And he's not ready to sort it out. He doesn't want to sort it out. But she seems to land him in it. If there's a scale of parenting from caring and encouraging words through to just get on with it, we're definitely at the just get on with it side of things. What we don't know from the Gospels is how their parenting had gone over the last 20 plus years. How Mary's nurture and care had been balanced with challenge and discipline. How Mary had helped Jesus to grow up into who he was to become. The Gospels were written and put together to help nurture, develop, and challenge those early communities following Jesus' story. The stories were brought together to help to tell the story of faith and to pass on meaning to the next generation. Perhaps this story points to more than physical elements of wine and water. Perhaps this story shows us how important other people are in nurturing not just our faith, but who we are to become. That we don't practice our faith in isolation, but are encouraged to grow and challenged to step out and try new things by those around us. When those early faith communities gathered to talk about Jesus, they engaged with the stories through discussion. Storytelling inspired their imaginations, and dialogue enabled an environment where faith was passed on. Not like memory verse tests to be passed or failed, but as practices to be lived. And just as the Gospels were so important to those early faith communities, so they can help us in our own walk of faith. For our Lent course this year, we've decided to look at nourishing ways to read the Bible. The seminar and groups that are coming up in the next month provide the opportunity for study and fellowship, a chance to get to know other people, and the opportunity to discuss how our scriptures can be life-giving, whilst also acknowledging the ways in which they can be tricky and hard to read. We'll learn about different ways Christians have read the Bible and engage in discussion and dialogue about the meaning of faith. Can I encourage you to sign up to the introductory seminar that's happening in a couple of weeks and to the Lent groups which start in mid-February? All the information is at the back of church, in the notices and on the website. Coming back to the story we read this morning, I find it encouraging that Jesus needed to be encouraged and challenged. I find it encouraging to read this short conversation between him and his mother, that he needed a push and a nudge, that he needed those around him for encouragement and challenge, because I know that I need that too. I need people around me who at times can offer caring, nurturing words. But I also need people who can say, go on, you can do it, just get on with it. I hope this church community can be a place where we can do that for each other. And today, as we celebrate with Jacob and Adam, and as we pray for them, for their godparents, for their friends and family, We pray that they would feel nurtured and supported in their faith and given the confidence and challenge to grow. Amen.